This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And I like guys.
And I like girls.
But we hope you love this podcast.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here reporting live for the Hump Day Crew, going all green and all natural. Oh, very funny, guys. Yes.
You're listening to the Hump Day Crew, 11 minutes past 8, Copenhagen wrapped up. And to give us a bit of a sum up of what's happening, joining us on the line right now from Greenpeace, David Hood, good morning.
Good morning, Adam.
Now, David, first of all, tell us, what is your feelings about the wrap-up of Copenhagen, and was it successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody, if they read the news or see the news, can say that it probably wasn't. I mean, it was quite disappointing when we look in terms of, you know, a lot of these climate negotiations have been going for years. I mean, we started back in Rio in 1992, and which led through to Kyoto, and then we had the Bali meetings at the end of 2007. And at Bali, they were setting up a framework to bring together this new treaty to replace the Kyoto Protocol in Copenhagen this month. So it's quite disappointing that we haven't had any agreement that's come out of Copenhagen, which is, you know, had been fair, got ambitious targets, and it's legally binding. All that's come out of it at the moment is this accord, which has been primarily led by the United States, China, Brazil, India, and South Africa. And at the moment, it's not legally binding, and there's quite a bit missing.
Now, what would you say? There seemed to be a lot of finger pointing that was happening as well.
Yeah, I mean, and this is part of the problem. I mean, there's the Kyoto Protocol has legally binding aspects to it for the industrialised countries. And so they're now looking, particularly the US, are looking at countries like China and India, which are developing nations, which don't have any obligations under the Kyoto Protocol, to actually commit to a binding agreement. Now, it's understandable, I guess, in some regard from countries like China and India. They're still developing. So, you know, whereas, you know, the Industrial Revolution started in the 1850s in countries like the UK and the United States. So it's understandable that they would say, look, you guys have had your go. You've done all this polluting. You've got yourself to this situation where you're wealthy, you're powerful, you have all these opportunities that we don't. But yet you're telling us that we can't do that because of the damage that you've done to the environment. So prior to the Copenhagen meeting, China, for example, who are now actually the leading emitter of greenhouse gases globally, they're also the leading implementer of renewable energy technology. So they see the impact that they're having on the environment and taking steps to mitigate it. But they actually made a commitment to reduce their emissions on the basis of their GDP. So, you know, there's a bit of finger-pointing and saying, look, you need to do this and you need to do that. But, you know, I mean, we see that the industrialised nations, so, you know, you're looking at the United States, European Union, Australia, Canada, Russia, all those sorts of countries that can actually say, look, we're going to put these targets on the table, we're going to commit to them, and we're also going to contribute funding to assist in the adaptation and mitigation of climate change impacts for poorer nations. I mean, one of the things that was interesting in the last couple of, probably last 6 months, you're finding that the smaller island states or the small island countries, specifically the Pacific Islands.
That's a mouthful.
Say that quickly. Are actually standing up and saying, look, we're the ones that are most impacted by climate change. And especially for Australia, I mean, we're part of the Pacific Islands. And, you know, we're seeing the impacts of climate change in the Pacific already. I was quite fortunate a couple of months ago to actually participate in a tour, a speaking tour of Pacific Islanders around Australia. And it's quite touching to actually see the stories, hear the stories and see the photos of these places that these people that call home. I mean, culturally it's having such an impact on them because they're at the point where they can't live the life that they used to live. They can't earn a living. And they're being told that they're actually going to have to leave their homes. And these are places that they've got a connection to for centuries.
Now, there seems to be some talk about Mexico in 2010 now.
Sorry?
There seems to be talk about Mexico in 2010 now.
Yeah, so, I mean, we didn't get a solid agreement out of Copenhagen. So the next big meeting's in Mexico at the end of next year. There'll also be a meeting in Bonn mid-year. So the next step as far as that agreement goes is that all the everybody that's a party to this is have to submit their plans as part of this Copenhagen Accord to how they're going to reduce their emissions. And that's to be basically to hand in their homework by January, so next month.
It's good to know that they've all been given homework, for sure.
Sorry?
It's good to know that they've all been given homework.
Yeah, well, it's up to us to keep the pressure on to make sure that they deliver it, I guess.
And David, just to let me know, what can the individual do to help out? What can we do?
One of the things that you can do to show your support, and a lot of this happened during Copenhagen, and that, you know, there was millions of people worldwide took peaceful direct action, is you can jump on the Greenpeace website. So it's greenpeace.org.au /climate, C-L-I-M-A-T-E, /sign up. And join up just to be receive our updates and our newsletters, and also be notified of when you can take action. But locally, I mean, it's even just things like, you know, supporting organisations like Greenpeace. There's a lot of local climate action groups. You know, switch to green power, change to your compact fluorescent light bulbs, composting. You know, the amount of methane and greenhouse gases produced from our waste can be reduced significantly. And just things like catching public transport, riding your bike, and all that sort of stuff.
David Hood, thank you so much for having a chat with us today and wrapping up Copenhagen. Let's hope we have some better news as we progress to the next few conferences.
Yeah, thanks very much for your time.
That was David Hood from Greenpeace. You're listening to the Hump Day Crew. Hi, I'm Ads.
Hi, I'm Bish.
And that was one of our podcasts, but I still like guys.
I still like girls.
Boys better though.
I don't know about that. Listen to another podcast and find out.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.